right. It is 8:40 on Tuesday. It's late.
It's so late.
It feels late.
I've been up for now. What is? I got up at 5:40.
Oh my god.
So I have been up for 15 hours.
So here goes nothing. We're here.
Just gonna keep going.
We're just gonna keep going.
Well, cried 3 times today. That's a record of not crying more than 3 times because I cry more than that.
Do you cry in a way that's like just anger, or does it happen at anything?
Anything.
Because when you see the movies, people like, you know, like Rachel from Friends or whatever it may be, they just cry at like an apple. Obviously, you're not crying at an apple.
Literally, things I'll watch. Like, I watched something on the train today, and I literally just started crying. And I was like, why am I crying about this? It was like the stupidest thing. It was like someone like literally just looking emotional. I started crying. I was like, what is wrong with me?
Probably like, I wonder what that person went through. Like, what are they advertising for?
I'm like, they look really upset. And it had nothing to do with anything. I was like, I need to ring this in. And then the other time I cried was when I realized this is like how it's getting to with like my cravings. Like, I forgot my fucking cheddar mozzarella strip cheese after I had already gotten off a bad call. And then I looked at the fridge to get my strip cheese. Not there. I was like, fuck this day. And I went to the bathroom and cried. Oh my. Literally, that's my life now. Food and tears.
Question, do people get up on the train for you? Like, do they?
There's, like, never really anyone there, when I'm on the train.
When do you go to work at, like, a different time? Or do people not take the train?
Yes, it depends on how I'm waking up in the morning. It's like, do I get up in time?
Or do I not?
At night, like, where I get off on the train, there's, like, nobody, but then it gets so crowded. My anxiety, like, once I hit my train station, I'm like, no one's going to get out of my way, and I'm going to miss stop. Literally every night it's like dun, 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 dun,
dun. Can I say that your song choices for your stories are spot on?
Thank you.
Do you, I know that you reuse a lot of them, but do you like, because I was like, maybe I'll channel some of Gigi, and I can't even think of them. Like, I do something, I'm like, well, I don't know what I want to play. How do you just have them in your head, or do you type something in where it's like,
I just type something in.
Got it. So you're like, fail.
But I'm like very much obsessed with like our era of music. Like, I love the early 2000s, like, mm-hmm. in the 90s into early 2000s. Like, I love it because, like, those, I feel like those songs are so much more emotional than everything. And it's like
pop emotional. So, like, so exactly. Bad.
And everyone, like, a lot of people will be like, oh my God, your song choices are so good. I'm like, thank you, because if I can't find a good song, I don't post the story. I don't. I'm like, it's either a good song with it, because I feel like that's like with my brand. It's like the music has to go with the story, or like,
and
there's
it
no
really
story.
It does. All right, what else? Anything else that happened?
Other than the shit show of today with that letter I got from Darylan Dinner, his attorney?
Yeah, like that's...
Like, fucking, I told you, I'm in the fucking Twilight Zone over here.
Everyone, she was, we've only voice message, really, and she just kept saying, I don't know how else to explain it, Kat. I just feel like I'm in the Twilight. She's like, I don't know how else to explain today. This is just what it is. Can you explain what that means?
So, literally today, let me back up. 2 days ago, I said that I was going to bring the truth out of, like, what's going on with Darylan Dinner. That's all I said. I didn't even say anything else. Literally, that's all I said.
You didn't.
And then I guess it just sparked fire. People were just like, holy shit, Gigi and Kat are going to do it. They're going to take to the pod. So last night, I do my bedtime stories because I'm like, I haven't done it in a while. And I somebody asked the question about Darylan Dinner. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, you sit on a throne of lies. Like, I just kept saying that. And I'm like, oh my God, I have to put the L video up. So that's the only other thing I have put up about her was that. And like I said, that I've called her a gaslighter.
What about the quote?
That's what I'm getting to. Okay. So I put this up, and then I'm like working all day. Like, it's like the end of the month, and it's just fucking crazy. This whole month has been crazy. So I like get onto my phone. I see, hey, exclamation mark. I'm like, what the why is she why is she DMing me? And I like literally don't even open it at first because I'm like, no, I'm not doing this.
You sent it to me, and I'm like, please.
I'm like, I'm not opening this.
I go, please open it.
And I go to you, I can't mentally handle that right now.
I go, fine.
So then I like, finally, fine, I'm going to open it. So I open it, and I see it's a document. I'm like, shit. So I close it real quick and unread it because I'm like, I can't let her see that. And she's probably like sitting on her phone waiting for me to open that.
Absolutely.
So then I'm like, I need a plan of attack here. Mm-hmm. So I go back into the DM, open it real quick, open the document, screenshot, unread it. and read it again.
Are you sure that it takes away the scene thing?
Yeah.
Oh, it does?
Yes.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So then I, like, go get out of the app, and I'm like, I'm posting this. Like, I read it. I sent it to my, sent it to someone that I know who's an attorney, and I'm like, can I post this? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, thank you. So I post it, and I'm like, the fact that I've literally, all I have done up to this point is once, say that we're going to be doing a podcast on her about the truth. Didn't even expand on that. And post an elf video of saying that he said you sit on a throne of lies has now resulted in a freaking document stating that I am mildly snarking my assertion of holding someone accountable.
I'm laughing so hard.
It's like, what world are we living in that you feel that confident to send me something because you...
No, what's funny to me is that she got sent that letter by her attorney and she goes, yeah, send that.
Yeah.
Like, mildly...
She's like, that's perfect. Miss Denner, yep, send that. It's not like I'm married or anything. It says Miss Denner in it.
Yeah. Our firm has been engaged by Daryl and Denner in connection with your social media posts stating your intention.
So you're telling me, Daryl, that you watch my stuff. Thank
yeah.
you. Thank you.
Miss Denner, including on the upcoming podcast, despite your assertions of commitment to accountability and mild snark.
And, like, is that because I posted the elf video?
You
sit on a throne of lies. Is it because of that?
You should respond. What if you responded and was, is this because of the elf video? You're like, if it's because of the elf video, I'll take it down.
And then I, like, get home and I'm, like, looking and then I see her mom post a story and it's like, no one's going to defame my name. And, like, has this song with it. And I'm like, when did I talk about her mom? Anywhere from Sunday until now. When did I say this podcast was going to be about Daryl Ann Denner's mom? Never said that. So I'm like, what are they doing? And I'm like, they're literally just saying, we're guilty. Talk about us.
Yeah. Well, what about the captions?
All of hers?
Yeah.
Hers, she took them all down.
I know, so tell me why.
Okay, so then, sorry, my brain is not working, guys. I still am like, what just happened in the matter of like 10 hours?
Because I asked you just 10 minutes
this ago. All started, this all started with Buddy the Elf. It really did. It really did.
All right, I'm going to
don't tell him. Don't tell him what you want for Christmas. So then... I, like, do a video. I do a story because I'm like, what is happening? Like, everyone is sending me. And, like, please. I, like, literally said this the other night. Stop sending me their stuff because I just don't care. Someone sends me Lisa's story with that. And then I go on my story. And I'm like, I literally haven't even said what we're going to be talking about. Mm-hmm. How are they posting, like, these, you can't defend or you can't defame my character. Like, I'll always defend my family. Like, stuff like... You look at me. I wrote the book. Caroline Manzo from Real Housewives of New Jersey. My family is thicker than thieves. Our blood runs deep. Like, that type of shit. Like, freaking mob stuff. And I'm like, what is happening? And I'm like, and then, so I post that story. And then Daryl Ann Denner
What did you post?
I post that story about saying, like, what is happening with this? Like, why are people posting quotes when I haven't even said what we're talking about on the pod, other than who we're talking about? And then Daryl Ann takes down all of her quotes. Like, what is happening?
Oh my God.
Are you that threatened? I haven't even said what we're going to be talking about. And this is the extent, this is the level you're going to, Miss Million Followers? Like,
wait, also, maybe that's like a good compliment that she knows that we have some traction.
Yeah. I mean,
but I think it would be like, I feel like if I was the Amber Massey or dads of the world, Daryl and Denner, like, you don't acknowledge because it makes it such a bigger thing.
Exactly. They literally just dug their grave before they even had to.
Like, think about it. Danny Austin. Didn't say a thing.
What if I, like, came on and was like, I loved
her. Yeah, I was just going to say, what if we were just like, yeah, love her. Love her, love her for an entire hour. Just
like,
repeating.
would she be like, oh, okay, all right, thank you. I appreciate it.
No, she would say, you're right.
Insanity. I have never seen anything like this before, that you were preemptively sending me a letter about mild snark, about Buddy the Elf. Literally.
I can't.
So, that's what happened.
I started this with anything new? Yeah.
You look at me. I shut the book. Our blood is thicker than thieves. Literally, I can totally see that. It's crazy to me. Okay. Madness.
I haven't laughed that hard in a minute. Okay, but what we're going to talk about is not her. We're going to talk about her on Friday.
Get ready. Again, not even saying what we're talking about. So if we get another letter, God help us.
We're going to be talking about, is it the Inman or?
Inman Project.
Inman Project. Mm-hmm. And people are in our DMs. They've been wanting us to do this. So I'm very excited. We had Kim on. We're going to share that at the end. But let's get into, you know, who Bree Clark is and who, like, the Inman Project is and how it came onto your radar. So how it came onto your radar, let's just start with that.
Yes. So this was, like, in June. People kept sending me Kim's page. And basically, like, everyone was saying that she was going to expose Bree Clark, who partners with small businesses and gives them places within stores. For instance, there was one, Kenzie, love her. Shout out to you, girl. Hi.
I
want to
be friends with you.
She had, like, a similar issue, and she had a friend that was talking about, like, they had plants in the store, and then, like, Kim or Bree was not paying them and was, like, gaslighting the situation. And, like, the more that these small women business owners were talking, the more they all started figuring out that they weren't alone in this. Mm-hmm. And, like, Bree was – and, like, you'll hear from Kim. Bree was, like, gaslighting everybody and, like, bullying them and, like, basically threatening in the sense where people went silent. So I slid into Kim's DMs, and I was like, I'm obsessed with this story. And so, like, we're going back and forth for, like, a few weeks now, and she's like, I think I'm going to be on the news. If not, I'm going to go live, and I'll let you know. Because, like, I was like, tell me, and I'll share it so, like, we get more traction on this. So, like, we can get more people, because I have a lot of people from Dallas that follow. Yeah. Long story short, she literally gets all these women to finally start coming forward. Like, she was, like, the domino that just knocked down everyone else. Because everyone's, like, at this point where they're like, okay, do we just stay silent and let this go and make it a loss and just move on? And, like, Kim used who she is. Like, I say this when we interview her. Like, I just was drawn to her because mm-hmm. she is just, like, a good human. She is, like, that person where she's not out there for, I just want to get on the news and, like, have an interview to be on TV, to be, like, famous. She's not that person.
As the young would say, clout.
Yes, she's not into that. She wants, like, she's genuinely has the best heart. She wants to write things. She wants to be there she's a survivor of domestic abuse. And she just, like, she's just an amazing human. And I'm so glad that we were able to do that, because, like, she brings light to so many things. And it's like, imagine being a small business owner, a woman, during the pandemic and being gaslit and ripped off by this asshole. Bree Clark.
Let's talk about, real quick, gaslighting, because I didn't realize how common it was,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't even know the definition of it, to be honest. I just looked it up, and it says to manipulate someone by psychological means into questioning their own sanity. Gaslighting can just basically mean, like, oh, no, that's not right. Like, this is what's actually happening. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. Like, you're not right. Like, oh, you're just thinking things. Like, it's super common. Nowadays.
Yeah.
If we're thinking, like, Bachelorette, Katie and what's his face? Do we know? Do you know his name?
No. I stopped watching it because I just was done with The Bachelor.
Forever?
It depends on who the Bachelor is going to be.
What about the next one with the other girl?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to watch her. Okay. I just didn't watch Katie because
she's boring. Like... It was a very bad season, I understand. Well, she talked about gaslighting, and I just didn't realize how common it was.
Greg.
Greg, thank you. I was going to say Gary, but that's not right. So, yes, she talked about how common it was, and I didn't realize how common it was.
It literally happens, like, on my page every day. People will try to gaslight me into thinking, like, I'm being, like, me drawing attention to things, like, with influencers mm-hmm. and stuff and what they're doing in the shady stuff. They'll call me a bully.
Yeah.
They'll weaponize the word bully. But really, I'm holding people accountable. Like, but I hear it so many times, I'm like, am I a bully? No.
And that's why we feel like when we talk about it, it's like, that's because people are making us feel that way. And I think a huge thing, and we can talk about this on a whole other episode, is just how society has now, I feel like, genuinely thought that, like, they don't think that they're gaslighting.
Yeah.
This is just the way that people communicate nowadays. And it's really messed up. With Bree, however, it goes beyond gaslighting. It is manipulative. It is
abusive.
Everything. It's abusive. Absolutely. It was triggering Kim left and right. So let's talk about, you know, who Bree is. I have some notes, so.
She's definitely people that don't show up for TV interviews.
Did she not?
Yeah, she canceled 20 minutes before they went live.
Oh, see, how do you just... I do all the research, and here she is with all the fucking tea. But I do know she's 37, born in January 11th. So if you guys that care about zodiac signs. And the way that she said that she got into all of this, based on interviews, is that she grew up with her mom throwing dinner parties, and so her mom loved to host, and she was surrounded by diversity. She was always saying that she was fortunate enough to be surrounded by diversity. And then she said that, "I will be the first to admit that some of my obstacles that I faced were self-induced. For a long time, I was entitled and only thought of myself. I didn't think of the woman or person next to me." And she said this in an interview before anything came out. So we'll talk about how she claims to love women and really actually just backstabs them. And apparently her and her husband lived out of a car at one point. She talks about that.
I saw that.
In multiple interviews. And they started their family business with $25 to $30. She's also been arrested countless times, actually. Yep.
You know what's crazy, too? Like, women like that, they use, like, emotional attachment to bring you in. So you, like, it lessens the badness of her, which is, like, sick.
Exactly. Based on my counting, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times that I, by public record, have seen her.
The crazy thing about Texas, though, like, bring us back to Amber Massey, you can get things expunged by paying it off.
Well, yeah, a lot of this stuff was definitely filed, but not, like, some of it was dismissed, but it was filed. And it's all who you know. And we can get into her arrest, but just in case we don't make it to that, there's some, like, misdemeanors. A lot of it is theft, and there's some that's, like, under 50, but then there's some that's 1,500 to 20,000. There's also a fraudulent use. Oh, did you hear about this? So she stole someone's purse and the IDs from two women at a bar. And her roommate, Bree's roommate, who is also a victim of Bree, was the witness and contacted the individuals to return the items. So she found them and was like, "Yo, my roommate Bree is a psycho. You got to come pick these up. I found them. Here you go." And upon the search with the cops, more IDs were found, like a bunch of them.
That's scary.
And that's noted. Like, that's like, noted and public record.
Okay, she reminds me of somebody that is, like, getting ready to prime up to be a lead on Investigative Discovery Channel, like one of those episodes.
I mean, yeah, she could be on the ID channel. She could make the ID channel with all of her stories. And then the last one would be theft, $20K. She pled guilty. She stole cash and checks from someone named Roy Lee Williams and owes $22,500 in restitution, 6 years of probation. And she broke that probation in 2020, family violence in Walmart. She spent one day in jail. So this is who we're dealing with, and I feel like no one else is talking about that part. So I just wanted to preface this with, before no one knew about this. So she was coming into the scene as this woman that was super supportive.
Yeah.
And kind of tell me, do you know exactly, she has the Inman Project and Lavender Mint that she started in 2017. And Lavender and Mint design focuses on, like, affordable and trendy handcrafted farmhouse tables and furniture for families.
Yeah, like, she just, like, she rents out spaces, like, within the stores for other artists and other owners to, like, place in there. I know that much because I've had a few of them come in, like, and talk about that. And, like, she doesn't pay them. Also, like, artists, like, with paintings and stuff. Like, I know there was one artist that had a painting with plants. Like, she would do paintings and sell them with plants. And she, like, hadn't gotten paid and kept texting her. I looked at the text messages. It's all coming back to me now with all of it. But, like, had all the text messages and she was sending it to me, and Bree was gaslighting her, like, this is how business works, like, trying to tell her how it is, like, no, it's been, like, months, I haven't been paid, what are you doing?
There, I think I know about the plant person, and I want to get the audio up, because this woman, it's a very long thing, so I won't, but the plant lady really did, she talked about her story, and Bree was mean, very, very mean. So the other company, real quick, that she has is the Inman Project. So that's what we're kind of calling this episode, is the Inman Project. And it's a business that supposedly focuses on community uplifting and diversity. This is her quote. "This is done through our on-the-table workshops with a purpose, where a space is created that no matter your background, age, skin color, religion, or walk of life, you feel at home. A space where every girl is welcomed. We offer empowering workshops from macrame, floral design, painting, calligraphy, succulent design, and more." So she has those two businesses. And within that, like you said, people can either feature their art. Yeah. And she also had a plant shop, correct?
Yes.
She also had a plant shop where the whole plant thing happened. So she started, people were making it a big deal. It was the first woman-owned and black-owned plant shop within, like, the Dallas area. And she was also allowing people to feature art in her store, tables. Another woman that I watched her story, actually, I'm going to make sure that I tag their names in like the description. She had rugs and pillows that she designed, and Brie never paid her. So let's get into maybe Kenzie's story. Do you want to start with her?
Sure.
Okay. So I'm going to play some audio.
I love her.
I know, Kenzie. I really do.
I was telling you that I get really nervous, kind of. I mean, I know this isn't talking in front of people, but knowing that there are people on their phones watching me right now makes me really nervous. And so I apologize. And I figured a conversation would be better so that it's just more natural. Okay. But my story, I started painting and doing art mid-COVID. I love to paint. It's a place for me to escape. And so that was the goal of it. And I would ever in my life have to deal with an adult like this. But whenever I started painting, it was really just kind of for myself. And then I started sharing with other people and they ended up liking it, which made me really excited. And so then I started to look into markets. Same with you. I just Googled markets, found some lovely ones that I've had an amazing experience with, like the best, and they're amazing people. And then I found the curated project through the Amon Project. And I had no idea who she was, never heard of any of her brands, businesses, anything. And so it was funny. I applied the night before the market was happening, because I had some leftover paintings from a previous market. And she let me in and I did my first market with her and it went really well. It was awesome. However, I have personal experience with someone that is similar to Brie, not as bad by any means, but I have experience with people that have similar mental health issues or behavioral traits. And so my brain and my body, I just knew. I was like, Kinsey, you don't feel comfortable around this person. You're walking on eggshells. You don't feel safe. I got a text saying, like, matters about payment need to be done via email. You should email. And I'm like, okay, fine. I'll email. And so I email with all my payment information and say, like, let me know what's easiest for you. Like, here's my Venmo. I'm emailing because you told me to email. And another month goes by. And so fast forward and it's March and my painting sold in December. And I was like, this is getting kind of weird. Like, I feel awkward having to ask to be paid. It's making me feel like I'm doing something wrong, similar to Kim's story. Like, why are you making me ask you to pay me the money that I am entitled to? And so March comes by, still no money. And so I text her assistant again and just say, like, hi, like, I'm so sorry, but I still haven't been paid. And I was just told that another one of my paintings sold by the person that bought it. I wasn't even told by Brie that someone else had bought another painting. I get a call from Brie 5 minutes later, and her voice is just full of rage. And then she goes into, I've never had a vendor be so annoying. I've never had anyone demand to be paid like you have. This has never in my life happened with any other vendor, telling me how entitled I am. Turnaround for my payments are 8 to 10 days. And so I shut up for a long time. And so you just feel helpless and you shut up.
So I'm just going to read some of, because Kenzie sent me the text. All she said was, I heard I sold another painting, so I wasn't sure if I should pick up a check for the two I've sold or if they still wanted to Venmo. Then Brie goes, since this is a partnership, you owe me. Hey, if you got time to text me and bother me while I am with my dad, you have to pick up the phone. But I'm going to say this before I block you from having the privilege to text and communicate with me. Don't ever in your life think you are entitled to send me a long email trying to get some shit off your chest. I'm not the one. My partnerships are actually 60-40 and are 60-day turnaround. So if you want to get technical, you owe me, in all caps. So tread lightly. So let me know how you want to pay me for having your stuff at my shop for so long. And if you need my Venmo, here it is. And yeah. Don't. And she goes, and don't ever tell a black woman you are taken aback by her words.
I remember. Now I remember that end of that because Kenzie sent that to me too. It's like she is a gaslighter and she is dangerous and she is very abusive. Mm-hmm. And like this is exactly like what Kim's gonna get into. She talks in a certain way to scare people into silence.
So Kinsey was just nice the entire time.
Yeah.
The entire time. And based on what we heard in the beginning, she's like nervous to even speak out.
Yeah.
Which is so hard.
I literally remember like it was yesterday. They were like, I remember like they were all on the cusp of saying something, and Kenzie kept saying like, I don't know. I don't know if we're going to say anything. Like, Kim isn't sure if she's going to go live or not. And it just was like this whole thing. And then all of a sudden Kim goes live, and it's like one person after another, after another, after another. And I was like, this is a goddamn movement. Like, this is a movement, and this is what I'm talking about.
So I'm going to talk about another person. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. The next person is the Boho Market. Her name's Taylor. She's the owner and founder of the Boho Market. She did all of this July 1st, 2021. So all of this is very recent, guys. She met Bree in 2016. Bree was a vendor that wanted to be a sponsor. Taylor was really excited. And between the first and second event, Taylor found out that Bree was using the Boho Market to get into business with other vendors. So basically just stealing from them. She said that she really didn't want to be associated with Bree after that. She started tiptoeing away from the partnership for 6 months. And then something quote unquote massive happened at the end of 2017. Bree said that she was Dallas and she allowed Taylor to start a maker's market in her city, and that she would in 2018 start a competing market to destroy Taylor. So they haven't spoken since. That was 3 years. During that time, Taylor made it a goal to not say anything bad about Bree because she's also a very, like, timid person, doesn't like speaking out. She started keeping a small list of about 30 small businesses who have been negatively affected by Bree, and she couldn't even keep track after that. Apparently, December 2020, they hadn't spoken in 3 years. Bree shows up with her boyfriend or husband, whoever he is, to an event that Boho had. Taylor went up, said, hey, Bree, thanks for coming. Great to see you. She was really proud of herself. And then she left the interaction proud. And this is what I wanted to share. Mm-hmm.
She can talk a really big talk, but she can't damage us. We're speaking the truth. For a really long time, I held on to that. But I was feeling so convicted in saying anything because I really had hoped that she had changed, or she would change. And it was that event that I saw her, and I left that interaction with her feeling really proud of myself for standing up for myself and not hiding from her or intimidating me. And it was a really good event. We finished the event. It was a really good event. And we were loading up at the end of that event. I don't even know if I was in my car yet. And I look at my phone and I had dozens and dozens of text messages and videos from Instagram of an 8-minute video that she had posted of my husband.
She sounds so scared.
I know.
A little backstory there. When Bree and I were friends, because I thought we were, I was a single mom. I didn't meet my husband until after Bri and I separated ways. So she has never met my husband. She's never spoken to my husband. They've never communicated via email, via text, no communication. The closest they've ever been geographically would have been at the event that she came to that day. I've never watched the video. I can't. I remember how difficult it was. I started doubting myself. I started questioning myself, and I just didn't want to go back there.
Okay, so it ends with none of it was true, which yeah. She sounded miserable, and that she really affected her. So Bree, I don't know what that video was. I've tried to find out, but no one knows. But Bree is just this person that gaslights women, and so many in the Dallas area. And I guess long story is that she messed with the wrong bitch, and she messed with Kim.
Yeah. Kim is like, I even feel bad that she even had to deal with that. She's already dealt with trauma, and like to be hit again, you guys will hear all about this. But it's like women like this hate that they exist because they just come in entitled and thinking like, if I put enough pressure and threats into something, I'll silence them because I have enough power and I have enough. She thinks she went with, I have enough feels and like people around me in Dallas that no one's going to stop me because I will ruin your career.
Yes.
And imagine being a woman owner and having to deal with that. It's like, I can't even imagine that, because like, even like being a woman in the business, where it's hard enough, and to have that threat to lose everything because of one person is scary.
Here's actually a funny woman.
Completely understand. But most of the women I have seen that have come out that are bloggers are white women. Don't do that. Don't do that. That's not okay. That's not cute. You wouldn't want nobody doing you like that. And like I said, we as black people, that is what we are fighting against. And I think that's what triggers me the most, is you end up being racist against white women. Because you're targeting them because you know that you can use your race to sit up there and say, if they come back on me, well, I can just say, well, I'm a black woman and you can't treat me like that. No, that's not how we roll. I can't fool with that. And I wasn't going to say anything, but it's like, as a black woman, no, let me check you real quick. Okay? You cannot do that. Do not do that.
So, love her. Angelic Effects. And she brought up what also Kim brings up is the race component, which a lot of black women came out, three that I watched, Kim including, that in those three, just talking about how she uses race to weaponize as well. And it's, and I'll kind of let Kim talk about that.
Hey, everyone. I'm very excited for this. I know a lot of people have been waiting for this episode. And we have got Kim Alusiana. I'm sorry if I did not say that correctly, but I think I did.
You did well.
How are you?
I am well. I'm well. How are you? Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. We've been so excited for this episode. And for everyone who is not familiar, Kim was the, I guess, leader in charge of this quote unquote Aman project that kind of broke the barrier of a lot of things that were happening with small businesses in the Dallas, Texas area. And we are going to get into that today. It is so important. And there is so much to discuss of what has happened when she broke her silence on this on social media. Just for some background, I was sent her story from a fellow artist, Kenzie. And she was kind of filling me in with what was happening day to day. And I was just like flabbergasted with what was happening in the gaslighting and all that sense. And I just couldn't believe this. And then finally Kim goes live and I'm like, here we go. So I'm like right on my story. Everyone get to Kim's live right now. You got to go watch.
When was this?
It was so good.
When, what month was this? Do you remember?
It was the end of, it was the end of June.
Okay.
It was the end of June. It was right at the end of June on a Thursday, the last week of June. And honestly, and I'm sorry if I'm speaking out of turn. And honestly, it was the reason why it just happened on that day. There was no warning, is because I had filed a lawsuit against Free earlier that month. And so I didn't want to just go to social media. I really wanted one of the press that had given her so much press to, you know, speak to me or speak to someone to correct some of the false, you know, praises they had given her. But I literally, no one was interested at all. And so, yeah, that was the day was my boiling point, because it was just so many people, because I guess the story started leaking. So there were so many people that were in my DMs and things. And I'm like, I have to do something.
Yeah. And for everyone that is not familiar with you, how about you just give a little introduction of who you are, what your place is, even about your nonprofit, which I love that story as well. So if you could just kind of give an intro for everyone.
Oh, yes. So I'm Kim Olusanya, and I have several businesses in Dallas. I own a construction company, a bearings motor company, which is very men driven. But my passion is my nonprofit, which is Action with Compassion Dallas. And what we do is we service the ladies that are staying at the family place. So I actually host events there where I bring in makeup artists, hairstylists, and tons and tons of clothes, shoes, and we just style them all up and serve them dinner and everything. So it's very, very fun. And so that, and I have a fashion collection too. I design clothes. So I do a few things.
He does it all, everyone.
Well, tell us, how in the world do you manage everything? Cause I think right now Gigi and I are both in a position where we're like trying to manage a lot, but everything that you just said and everything that you've gone through, can you tell us like how you find time to manage it and also stay sane?
I have to say is I have a staff, you know, both of my companies, I have employees and office managers, and I have some great personal assistants that manage my brand, my collection. So I definitely have help, and I have my mom is retired, and so my daughter, I'm like, I have to do this. I'm doing this call. I'm doing this show. I'm doing this. So, and then also it's like the reasons of behind what I do is very easy to find people with like minds and passion to kind of help me. So I get a lot of support, but yes, it gets heavy. Mm-hmm. It gets heavy. And I guess that's honestly what made me go public with Bree is because, you know, the business size, I took care of it by suing her. And keep in mind, I sued Bree.
Yeah, tell us the story because, if you could.
Yes, like, let me tell you how. Yeah. So Bree and I were really, really, I thought we were really, really good friends. Okay. And so she got in some legal trouble because she had an assault case. She actually assaulted a postal worker. And now this is what she told me. Okay. So I want to be clear with that, because now the story has changed that the postal worker was actually a Black woman and not a white woman and, or whatever. So what she told me was that in the middle of the afternoon, she was going somewhere to deliver some packages, and this white postal worker started yelling racial slurs at her. Okay. And so she said that she snapped and she physically assaulted the lady.
Yeah.
And yes. And so she left the scene though. And so I immediately said, you need to get legal representation, that sort of thing. And at the time, the legal representation she had wasn't really aggressive enough, and they wanted her to turn herself in and that sort of thing. And I'm just thinking of, oh, this is my friend who it's in the middle of COVID and homeschooling, and she snapped and this woman was calling her these racial names. And it was definitely still hard for me because I am an advocate for women that are abused. So I'm like, you need to go to anger management. You have to do this. You have to do this, you know, to get yourself together. But I said this, my exact words to her, this one mistake after 10 years of good cannot destroy everything. That's what I said, because that's what I thought.
Yeah.
So then, I loaned her the money. And so when I loaned it to her, it was, you let me know how you would like to pay me back, when you'd like to pay me back, because there wasn't a rush or a crunch, you know? And so everything was fine. I didn't have an issue, but it was just when what happened was when it was time to start paying me back, it was, she changed her whole turn, her whole tune changed, her attitude. She was very dismissive.
How much time passed before like you, it happened and you gave her the money, and like when you started kind of asking her about payment?
It was like 4 months.
Okay. So you waited a while.
Oh no, I waited a while because it wasn't it was just, you know, since I knew that she was not making payments, I started feeling uncomfortable about it. And so I thought, as my friend, she should say, hey, I'm struggling, or I'm having some trouble, I needed something. So really, when I would talk to her about it, it was just to get a new payment arrangement, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So this happened in October when I let her borrow it. So in March was when I was really like, hey, you're really being dismissive to me. I don't like the way this feels. And I told her then, I said, this is really triggering me. I am a survivor of domestic violence. So setting healthy boundaries of how I'm going to be treated and not treated is very important to me. And so this, what, how she was responding wasn't someone that just reneged on a debt. She was actually gaslighting me. She was, and she would say things like, I don't rush to call my husband or my kids back. Why would I rush to call you back? And it had been months. You know, it was just very ugly. So, and I told her then, I said, please do not put me in this situation, make me feel like this. And so, because she did make one payment in March. Mm-hmm. And so I, please don't let this happen again. April came, nothing. And then May. So I said, here we are again. You know, please do what you say you're going to do. And I said, don't treat me like this. Don't talk to me like this. If you can't pay it, say something to me, you know? And so she said that she would, and she didn't. And so that's how she got, that's how I sued her.
I was just going to say, for me, it's like, I don't understand how people can't just take accountability and own up to things. And like their first go-to is like gaslighting the situation.
Yes. That, and that is what, she, and that's actually what she did. Even after I went live, she contacted me to actually gaslight me more so. You know, it was just, you know, it's things like I wouldn't, it's just about the money. Why am I doing this and turning this into something else? And so I said, it's not about the money. I'm paying more to the attorneys to sue you than you owe me. Mm-hmm. I said, you're abusing women. You abused me. So I have to take control of my life back. I have to say, it's unacceptable for you to treat me this way. But I said, there's women that's contacting me that has closed their business, changed the name of their business.
Oh my
because she owed them for products or services and chose not to pay them. And when they insisted, she weaponized her following by using race or whatever. And it destroyed a lot of women. And so, and I guess that's another thing where I want people to understand is that they tried to paint it after the fact, her PR person, that she's just, you know, small businesses have sometimes trouble paying invoices.
You reach out to her multiple times as a friend to ask for payment and gave her different payment options, like you said.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. I definitely did. And she not only did she not respond, if she responded, it was very to put me in a place. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm so busy opening these different shops and doing all of this. I don't have time for this little stuff. No one bothers me this much. You know, it's just,
you wouldn't understand.
That was the whole tone, the whole injury. Yes. And it's, so it's not just about invoices. It's how you talk to someone. And keep in mind, I've receive messages from people that gives her services. So it's not, it's just a poor treatment across the board. It's some entitlement. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if influencers just start feeling that way.
That is exactly what happens. And like, for me, my platform, it's all about taking accountability. And if you can't do that, like, then at least just don't talk about it. Like it's a constant like cycle. People like try to weaponize the word bullying to me. And I'm like, it's not bullying. I'm just asking them to be honest. They're gaslighting situations in a sense where it's like, okay, no, that's not the truth. If you're not going to be honest, then don't speak on it. Like, because you're only weaponizing. And then like they send their followers over to attack. And it's just like, why? And then I all of a sudden I'm like, okay, am I doing something wrong? Like I start questioning it and I'm like, wait, no, all I'm doing is asking for them to be honest.
Well, they've created this new, they've created a new kind of enterprise where no one knows what's going on because no one's really had people like these influencers and they feel like, all right, I can do anything I want. And I think they don't even realize the point that they've gotten to. And that's where the whole gaslighting thing comes from. Now, Brie, I think, is a manipulative person. I think that the influencers were more, I think that they gaslight people and they don't even know that they're doing it, but they should still be held accountable. They need to be, people need to like clap hands in front of their face to be like, you are not entitled. You cannot do this to people.
Yeah.
Sorry. Just had to go on that rant.
No, I completely agree. And then, but Brie is, it's something else. Even the day that she opened her shop in Houston, the same day that we held the collab festival. I mean, that's,
oh my gosh.
You know, it's manipulative. It's really, I don't care about, it's 100 or so women in Dallas that don't like me. I can stand to, you know, to be disliked. But no, they don't just, it's not that they don't like you. You have taken advantage of them.
It's gross.
I mean, it doesn't matter how you code it. It's gross behavior. And then how she put, someone sent me something that she said. She said, well, the reason why she didn't do the interview is she said, well, I don't want to drag another Black woman down, no matter what she's done. The thing is, she didn't do the interview because she had no rebuttal to say.
Exactly.
There was nothing. That's why she didn't, but that doesn't sound correct. So what she, in saying that, after that, I had women coming to me, messaging me saying, how could I do this to another Black woman? She attacked another woman for one. Mm-hmm. And she told me that she was white, I think to make me believe the race thing. Cause again, she using race to justify her actions. And I said, so now I don't even know, but she's turning these women to come to me like, why would I do this to another Black woman? Because there are racial injustices in this world. She has a large platform. She has used race to benefit herself because of her wrongdoing. So now that taints everything that she said about someone. So it could be someone that is wrong, but now they should get a pass because of her actions.
Exactly.
So to me, as a Black woman, I was supposed to call her out because she's doing more harm.
And look what she's doing to your community. The African-American community is, it's like, you can't be doing this, you know?
Exactly. And I was telling Amber and some other, like, you guys have known me for years. If you knew this about her, no one said anything to me. Like I was oblivious.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking there's opportunities that I would have missed or people that didn't want to talk to me anymore. And there are people that she had called a racist that I had blocked and didn't say anything to them just because, and it wasn't the case.
You trust
her. I mean, so it's, I trusted her because she was my friend.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, but she found a way to try to spin it as if I'm doing something wrong to another Black woman when she's abusing.
Mm-hmm.
It's, I don't know. It's very troubling.
It is. And like, I always ask this at the end of the day, when I'm like looking at these, like, I'm just going to bring it back to influencers. It's like, how do they look themselves in the mirror? How do they put their head on their pillow at night and go to sleep? It's like, I don't understand how they mentally work. Like when I saw your page, when someone had sent it to me, I automatically was drawn to you because you can just tell when someone like has a heart of gold and like, isn't, mm-hmm. and it isn't doing things to get attention or like be in the media or be in the face of anything. It's because you genuinely are a good human and you just want the best out of everyone. Like automatically that you can see that coming across your page. And that's exactly why I was drawn to you, because I knew, I was like, this is no BS. This woman has nothing to gain from this. She just wants the truth out there. And that's what we need more of.
I also wanted to say that
yes.
I watched so many of the videos from people that spoke out. And I know that you have probably dealt with a lot of I know that you have dealt with a lot of things with like domestic violence and just abuse in general. So at least you knew how to set boundaries, but so many of these women didn't. And so it went way, way too far and they weren't friends with Bree, and Bree said some vile things, which she said to you as well, but like, it's just really, really crazy to see what she said. And of course it's all alleged, but they are sharing their stories. And a lot of these women are very, you can tell, and they've said it in the beginning of their videos, I'm really nervous. I don't do this. I'm scared as hell right now. So that's, and it's just really, really weird.
And it's, a lot of it is alleged, but I've seen so many DMs, because the thing about Bree is that she was very bold. I mean, the things that she would DM these women
is insane.
It's insane. Like, like she needs some, it's insanity. Like
how dare you, Jesus. How dare you say this about me? Like, you never, yeah. The things that she would say and use in her defense is absolutely crazy.
It's shocking. And I mean, tread lightly. I mean, she's threatening people in writing from her page. I mean, from her personal cell phone.
You know what I think is crazy? I think it's that weird that she would, so she usually, in the stories I've heard, is that she will go crazy and then she'll somehow within minutes like turn around and be like, oh girl, I know this one woman I watched, long story short, she didn't get paid obviously, and she reached out and Brie ended up calling her and just like yelling and yelling and yelling at her, and the girl responded very calmly, and Brie responded with like, oh, you know, girl, it's just Texas time, we're in the South, like whatever. And I've heard a lot of other stories where she just flips the narrative so quickly, which is obviously signs of narcissism in its finest.
Oh no, it definitely is. And what also is very sad, and I can tell that these women have been victimized, because they act just like victims that has been abused. Mm-hmm. Like after she did her statement that said that she had paid everyone, there's women that have DM'd me and said, I mean, I don't know why she would say that. She has not paid me. I wish she wouldn't have said that. But they don't feel comfortable saying it. I mean, even now, and I get it, because, you know, when WFA pulled my story the first time, they actually pulled it twice.
I remember this. I remember. Remember, because you, me and you were talking, and I was like, just go live.
Yes.
Just go live.
Yes. So they pulled my story twice. But I have to say, to their defense, it was not them. She was actually hiring attorneys to try to silence me. Let me tell you how horrific I felt. And that only happened to me for a couple of weeks. And so I started imagining these women that had experienced this from Bree, and the news media did have clues that something was wrong, because they were putting comments on their pages when they were publishing her. And for her, for them to just see her week after week after week, and for their saying, why are you putting this woman on here? She is not correct. I could feel how they felt silence, because I was emotional when they pulled this story, because I felt like devalued. Like my proof that I showed you, you know, because they read all of my text messages and everything, that, and my lawsuit, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, you guys, and I just have to be quiet. You know, it was very upsetting.
Very jarring.
And that's the reason. And let me tell you, that is how the collab was birthed. I literally birthed it over July 4th weekend, because after I went live, because I know how abusers, narcissistic people work, I saw Bree's apology and I saw how she was trying to be involved in the healing of the community. And the thing is that I believe that in a relationship, business, professional, mm-hmm. people can reconnect after abuse, but you have to separate. But Bree was trying to control the healing, mm-hmm. you know, to still be in the community, to control, and, you know, I'm just going to pay these people this, and we're going to. And I was like, no, I'm going to try to put a Band-Aid on this so you can keep whipping these, you know, lies and deceit. So I needed to remove her from the equation to give people an option and resources. So that is how all of that came about.
Well, very happy for it. She messed with the wrong bee. That's all I got to say.
Like, that's what I said. I said
with the wrong bitch. Like, oh my God.
That's what I said. I said, oh, you know, you can stand 100 women that don't like you. Well, this 101, let me see what's going to happen, because it's not okay.
Oh, you know? Man. And she was a pro at gaslighting people, but at the, I feel like, and this might not have happened, but maybe there was a time where she knew who you were. Like, oh, I don't really want to be screwing her over, but she just didn't seem to care. She did not seem to care. But
yeah, I think what happened, see, I think, let me, and I know this sounds horrible. I actually think that she thought that she could get away with it. Because mm-hmm. she was supporting my sister's products so much. Okay. So she thought, I really think that that's what she thought, because when she started breaking her promises and things like that, mm-hmm. I mean, like, she was really supporting my sister, like everything, talking about it on TV, just everything. Mm-hmm. But I'm sorry. I don't operate that way.
You're not your sister. You are
I'm not my sister. I am me. And yeah. You cannot, you know, handle me any kind of way and think you're going to get away with it. And you're certainly not going to do it to a whole community of women. Like, and that's what I told. And I told her husband too, because her husband called me afterwards.
Are they married?
They're not married. They're not married.
Okay.
I know they're not married. They were married. They got divorced. But but he said, well, all you had to do was call me to say that she hadn't paid you back. I said, you're victim blaming. Mm-hmm. You're victim blaming. I didn't let you borrow the money. Yeah. Exactly. It has nothing to do with you.
Yes.
You know?
So my question to you, these women that still have been paid back, that are scared to come forward, what is your advice? And like, what can we do to help? Cause I feel like it's like, if they have a bigger backing, like if I need to use my platform 100%, I would do that, because I've got 120,000 people that will back whatever small business that is. Because one, if that's what they're scared about, then guess what? I'll bring an army with me.
So that is actually what I've been telling them. And my attorney has helped ladies pro bono.
Wow.
File, yes. So, and said that so they can do, you know, he's giving them the paperwork on how to do the small claims and helping them fill it out and things like that. And that's at no cost. That's just how bad. And also he was upset. Let me tell you why he was upset. This is funny story part. Because when the thing with the attorney happened, it was in the middle of the night. I text my attorney like at 8 at night, because she had to turn herself in supposedly the next morning. Yeah. And he doesn't, my law firm doesn't do criminals, but I said, you guys have to know someone, you know, that's really good. And so, and I mean, I sung her praise.
Yeah. Okay? You were a good friend.
I was like, she's been clean. I mean, like nothing. It's been 10 years. This was a horrible, you know, this mm-hmm. mistake she did. You know, I did the whole thing. And so in the middle at night, he contacted his friend. We exchanged information and everything. And she had the appointment the next morning. And then I had to tell him what happened. And then I had to tell him that she was abusing other small business women financially, emotionally.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It just like, it breaks my heart, because like knowing everything that's happened, like in the pandemic, how everyone's already struggling as hard as it is. And like, then on top of this, it's like they give them a damn break. And like for her to sit there and like, it just makes me sick because it's already hard enough to be a small business. It's already hard enough to have a place and be a woman and be in charge and your own boss in this, yeah. in this time. And then to put Brie on top of all that, mm-hmm. it's like
what to do, what to do. And it's not even that. I mean, I got messages from eyelash people that she does that did her eyelashes that she abused and fake tattoo artists. I mean, I'm just like, this woman is just raising havoc all over town.
Yeah.
You are amazing for sharing all of that. Like you really did a great job saying it from beginning to end. And we got some really good info in there. So thank you. And I really want to give you some time to speak about kind of what you're doing right now.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, I have I want to talk about my collab link in my app, but what's more important is it's October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. Mm-hmm. I am doing a clothing drive that is going to be October 17th at the same brewery that we have the collab festival with. So I'm looking forward to that. But the thing is that I need clothes. And like I tell people, I don't accept what you're finished with. These women have already been mm-hmm. broken. They leave their homes with their kid underneath their arm with the clothes on their back, you know?
Absolutely.
And so I donate my gently used and go buy them things. You know what I'm saying? They're already felt displaced. And I like, if you go to my Action with Compassion page, you can just look at the previous events. These women get everything and they come in, they're just slumped down, their bonnets on their heads, that kind of thing. And when they're like spinning, mm-hmm. modeling runway show when we get finished. So that's what's really, really important. Yes. Yeah, so we definitely do a lot for them. So that's what I want to do. But I'm encouraging businesses to unlock link. It'll actually be an app on their phone. And all of these businesses will have to be vetted. I have a team to help with that. But then also we'll be doing reviews. It'll be like the Yelp for small businesses. So you can collaborate and then they're trusted business for customers to go through. And it was just put on my heart to do.
That's genius.
They just need resources.
Genius, Kim, that is genius. Yeah. And you have tapped into an untapped market there. So I'm so excited to see your success.
Yes, I'm thankful for it. I really hope that, because I have like attorneys that want to do training classes to help people incorporate and do small contracts. So I really hope that people come to the events and register because it's free. I mean, it's not, these are people, professionals that are volunteering their time to just mm-hmm. really try to help people get established correctly and how to be productive. So
people out of state can help. Can they help donate clothes and where would they send them to?
Yes. It's the PO Box 151515, Dallas, Texas, 75215. Perfect. I've had it forever.
I'm going to be calling on I've got a big following in Dallas. So, I know that. So I'll be calling on all of them to be donating.
And one last question. Are the free events that you're talking about are
closed?
Yes. Sorry.
They're going to be virtually. They can be seen virtually. Yeah. I actually just purchased a platform where I can host these events where people can ask them questions and things like that. So I really want to be a resource because that's what I said, how so many people were able to be victimized is because they didn't have the resources on how to do even a simple contract and to understand the negotiation and things like that.
All right. You know, I love you. And I'm so glad that we finally had you on here. This was amazing. You are amazing. Yes. Tell everyone where they can find you.
I'm on Instagram, Kim Olusanya. So KimOlusanya. And you can find me and see my nonprofit, what I'm doing, my clothes, my events I'm hosting. So yes, there I am.
Thank you so much for joining. We so much appreciate you.
Thank you, Kim.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys.
Thank Bye. You. Bye, girl. Closing time.
Take it away. I'm tired.
All right, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
For being a part of our show. We really appreciate it.
Sounds like we're like leaving forever.
Okay, everyone. That is the end of our episode. Where you can find us?
Allegedly the podcast. We're having some trouble with our Instagram right now. So let's go to our respective.
What's your username?
Katrina for real. One R. Katrina for real. If you want to follow my dog, Stringer for real. And that's about it. That's all I got. How about you?
Girl Gangs 7733.
So tired.
And guys, get fucking ready.
Oh.
Because we're bringing it Friday. You better get your watching ears or your listening ears ready. I'm losing it.
Because I used to love you, Daryl. I really did. You really broke me.
I have no feelings. I'm bringing just straight facts to this page.
Okay.
To this podcast episode. I think it's because I didn't follow her before. I didn't know who she was.
We're late. It's late, but it's only 9:22 p.m. It's okay. Love you guys. Love you. Thank you. Allegedly the podcast, if you want to give us a follow.
Bye.